Hey there everybody, and welcome back to yet another Herbal Action here. In this video I'm going to be talking about demulcents, and this is a really important category in herbal medicine that I think is oftentimes overlooked in its value and its application, and for a much broader range of dynamics than people tend to think about in regards to demulcents. Now, what's kind of cool about the demulcent action is that the action in and of itself is very specific. Some of the other actions we've been covering, alteratives, expectorants, etc., really require further differentiation and breaking down into more subcategories so that we can get a little bit more specific, right? Where, you know, you have a relaxant expectorant is very different from a stimulant expectorant, right? We have cooling, bitter alteratives and hot, pungent, warming, circulatory stimulant alteratives, etc. But with demulcents, we see that it's a really straightforward action, and it truly is one of our great vitalist herbal actions because the action really says what it does and is very specific for particular constitutional states and tissue state dynamics. So what we see here with the demulcents is that they are our primary moistening action. So a demulcent is any medicinal agent that basically has a moistening, lubricating, cooling, soothing action that is specifically used for very dry, very irritated tissues that have a lot of heat, increased level of sensitivity, and basically irritation. Now, commonly, we talk about demulcents alongside with emollients. And the way most herbalists describe emollients is that you use an emollient topically, whereas the demulcent action is internal. But really, a more specific definition of an emollient is that an emollient softens hardness, whereas a demulcent moistens dryness. And they tend to go hand in hand, that hardness, tissues that have become hardened, oftentimes are dehydrated, right? If you think of what happens when you dehydrate a piece of fruit, right? It's like it shrivels up and it gets really hard, right? If you think of the difference between a juicy wet grape and a raisin, right? That's kind of the nature of dryness, right? Is that dryness and hardness tend to go hand in hand. So emollients and demulcents typically are the same thing, but I did just want to mention emollient here because you will see that term used a lot. Most people just say an emollient is a demulcent applied topically. But what we see here with demulcents is they're specifically used to moisten dried out tissues. And we want to think of, what are the tissues that are going to be most prone to dryness, right? Well, those are the ones that should be moist, right? The ones that should be having an adequate amount of moisture. And what we see as being primary here are the mucous membranes. I feel like I talk about mucous membranes a lot. But the mucous membranes that line the organ systems that are exposed to the outside world. So we have the respiratory system, we have the urinary tract, and we have the digestive system. I would also add in there female repro, because the vaginal canal has mucous membranes that need to maintain a certain degree of moisture. But all of these organ systems open up to the outside world, and because they open up to the outside world, they need a protective layer to prevent any pathogens or you know, in terms of the respiratory system to catch any dust or thing or airborne particulates from, you know, really irritating the tissues, etc. So the mucous membranes are secreting, ideally, a thin mucus secretion that's very rich in antibodies and immunity to protect the body. When those mucous membranes become deficient in their secretions, they're very prone to dryness, which leads to heat, irritation, redness, pain, more proneness to infection, and overall discomfort, simply by virtue that these tissues are meant to be moist. So we see these are, especially these top three here, are really primary affinities that our demulcent remedies have. So most of our demulcents will have actions on all three, respiratory, digestive, and urinary tracts, because their primary affinity is for the mucous membranes. Now, that being said, some herbs in the demulcent category will have more, like a stronger affinity in one of these directions or another. For example, mullein tends to have a stronger affinity for the respiratory system. Marshmallow has a really strong digestive affinity. Corn silk has a very strong urinary tract affinity, etc. So I guess I started out saying that this category doesn't really require further differentiation into subcategories. I would say, maybe I'll take that back, because you can differentiate your demulcent materia medica based on their predominant organ system affinities, and that's a really useful way to break them down so that you can look at, okay, what organ system is dry and what demulcent has an affinity for that organ system. So download the PDF below. I gave some listings of demulcent materia medica and then listed out some of their primary organ system affinities. So our mucous membranes, very important area of the body, prone to dryness, should be moist, but sometimes they're not. And that's where we want to reach for our demulcents. Another organ system that I think is very important here, or more tissue type, is the joints. So if we think of the joints of the body, we have obviously bone, connective tissue, tendons, ligaments, cartilage, muscles, but you also have fluids in there too, right? We have serous membranes, the bursa, synovial fluids, etc., that are designed to keep the joints lubricated, so you don't have bone on bone grinding when you try to bend your elbow or something. You've got these fluids in the joints to help keep them lubricated and so they can move smoothly. If the joints get dry, demulcent remedies can be very very applicable there to help to increase the secretions between the joints to lubricate the tissues, so they aren't quite so dry. And what we'll see is like dryness and stiffness, coldness, oftentimes like popping, like joints that pop and crack a lot. That's said to be an accumulation of wind and dryness within the joints. From an Ayurvedic perspective, they say that's vata in the joints. So we see the joints are a critical area here. And lastly, I also think about the nerves, that the whole nervous system is coated with oils, right? Lecithin and different oils to conduct, right, the nerve impulses, that electrical impulse through the nervous system. And so if the nervous system becomes constitutionally dry, we'll see it impacting the nerves. And we do see that there are a couple remedies that help to increase the fluids and the moisture content of the nerves. So these are kind of the major areas of the body that I tend to think of when we are thinking about our demulcent materia medica and how we want to classify our our herbs according to organ systems. Now, looking at the when we would want to use demulcents from some other traditional systems of medicine, what we see here is that in Ayurveda, a demulcent is going to be indicated for Vata. As I just mentioned, Vata is the dry constitution in Ayurveda. Kapha is wet in the form of water, and Pitta is wet in the form of oils, but Vata tends to be dry, and demulcents are very indicated for the Vata constitution, especially for Vata Pitta constitutions, where we'll see dryness with heat. These demulcents are amazing, really, really beneficial there for the Vata constitution. From the perspective of the physiomedicalist, we want to use it for what they call the dry atrophy tissue state, which is not only when the tissues are lacking in their moisture, but they're actually withering and weak and in need of nourishment. So we have to think that, you know, in our body, that our tissues and organs and cells, right, are all nourished and fed by nutrients that have to be delivered to those tissue sites, right, through water, right, that they're the extracellular fluid is this, you know, whole kind of oceanic matrix that all the cells are floating in, and all the nutrients are meant to be passing through that extracellular fluid from circulation and then nourish the cells. But if that fluid is deficient, if there's constitutional dryness, the cells and the tissues and the organs can become weak due to malnutrition. And that's really what the atrophy tissue state is all about. It's much more common in elderly people that are moving into the Vata stage of life. Vata tends to rule the later years of life, whereas Kapha kind of rules infancy and adolescence, and then Pitta rules majority of our kind of midlife. So dry atrophy, very specific tissue state for demulcents. It's actually the critical indication for demulcents, and that is this is our major herbal category for holistic therapeutics for that particular tissue state. In lieu of the nerves, we can also see it being applied for wind tension. Because wind, an excess of wind, which these two basically are Vata, right? That Vata is dry and tense. And so we see with too much wind, too much tension, you know, think of what happens on a windy day, right? It dries you out. And so, you know, one of the ways, and conversely, if you're too dry, that can lead to wind tension. And so, you know, typically wind tension is treated with relaxants, antispasmodics, nervine sedatives, which they help, but if the underlying reason for the tension is because of dryness, those antispasmodics aren't going to cover it, right? You need to treat the baseline underlying imbalanced tissue state, which in that case would be dryness, which would be treated with our demulcents. So it's kind of a roundabout perspective, I guess, right? That we don't typically think of using demulcents for wind tension, for cramping and things like that. But if there's an underlying constitutional dryness, the demulcents can be beneficial there. And lastly, we have a concept from Chinese medicine, which they call yin deficiency. And yin is basically considered primal water, right? It's we have the polarity in Chinese medicine, yin and yang. Yin moves down and in, sinking, watery, cold, moistening. Yang is hot, expansive, radiant, moves up and out. So yin deficiency is a very common pattern in our modern culture. I remember taking a workshop with Michael Tierra one time, and he was saying that yin deficiency is a concept that all Western herbalists need to have in their understanding, in their evaluation, right? It's like a tool you gotta have in your toolbox. If you don't have the tool, you won't see the imbalance, and then you won't know how to fix it. So yin deficiency is a very common pattern that we see in our culture that's
young excess, right? We're a very driven culture. We see people, you know, not getting enough sleep, not eating well, not hydrating well, stressed, overworked, pushing themselves too hard, too much yang and too little yin. And what we see with yin deficiency is, well, in general, yin and yang, fire and water, they control one another, right? That the water is what tempers the fire and prevents that fire from raging out of control. And so what we see in what's very common in Western herbalism is, you know, people will treat heat signs with bitter, cooling, draining, drying type remedies, alteratives basically, or anti-inflammatories and things like that, trying to treat the heat, right? It's like, oh, we got to cool the inflammation down, or we got to decrease the amount of fire and cool it down. But they don't see that underneath of that, it's not necessarily that there's too much fire, it's that there's not enough water to keep that fire in check, right? It's like the difference between, you know, loading up your wood stove with a bunch of nice, crispy, dry, seasoned wood, right? It burns hot, it burns well, versus putting a wet log in there, or unseasoned green wood, and it just kind of smolders. It doesn't burn very clean. That's because that water is kind of balancing the fire, in that case, making your fire not so efficient. So yin deficiency, dryness, that a lot of times people will have this underlying dry pattern, and they'll express heat signs. They'll look hot, but it's not necessarily considered true heat. It's more yin deficiency. So it's not necessarily yang excess, it's yin deficiency, which they can look the same. So yin deficiency signs of that would be dry skin, dry tongue. Of course, it'll depend on dry mouth, dry eyes, just dryness in general, but it also depends on what organ system, right? So, for example, yin deficiency in the lungs, we'll see dry cough, tension, spasm in the lungs, irritability, kind of sensitivity in the lungs. We can see yin deficiency in the kidneys, which would be like burnout, right? Endocrine deficiency. Endocrine burnout, which is very, very common in our Western culture. So be sure to download the PDF below. I kind of laid out some of the general signs and symptoms of yin deficiency and some of the different organ systems there. But this is something that Michael Tierra says we have to learn how to recognize this. And oftentimes that the reason people's protocols don't work is because there's an underlying yin deficiency. So think yin is like water, and if there's not enough water, your body can't absorb and utilize what you're taking in. And so oftentimes if your herbs, your protocol, your remedies, they're not really working, a good place to start is to check to see if they have yin deficiency. So I just wanted to share some of the different traditional patterns that we want to look for from Chinese, Western, and Ayurvedic medicine, where a demulcent would be a good place to start. Now, think of the demulcent action as a whole as being ruled by the water element. It's increasing the whole water element and the ecology of the body. And from an astrological perspective, I really see the demulcents as being mostly ruled by the moon. It doesn't mean that every herb that's demulcent is ruled by the moon or the water element, but in general, demulcents are water and moon. Plants are very complex, so you know, there's lots of different types of demulcents that have different planetary rulers, but that aspect of it would be like ruled by the moon. And in that way too, it's good to consider that a lot of these herbs are best administered as a water extract. That's what's going to bring out that demulcent property very nicely. For the most part, the demulcent property is attributed to a category of plant constituents called mucilaginous polysaccharides. Some people just say mucilage for short. And polysaccharide means many sugars. So it's a very large sugar molecule. It's basically a carbohydrate. And mucilaginous, so it's mucusy, it's mucilaginous, so it's kind of like got this thick mucusy type consistency to it. Again, that's very cooling, soothing, and moistening and hydrating to the tissues. So those polysaccharides are soluble in water, right? I think it's very interesting that the action that moistens the water element of the body is associated with constituents that are only extractable in water, right? So it makes a lot of sense from a biochemical perspective, from an energetic and a physiological perspective, kind of how the correspondences work between between the demulcent category and everything else we talked about. So now, that being said, we do have handfuls of demulcents that can be extracted in alcohol. These would be typically herbs that have mucilage in them, along with other constituents that maybe are more alcohol soluble. So there are many demulcent remedies that can be extracted in a lower percentage alcohol. The lower the percentage alcohol, the more mucilage you'll get out of it. But we have our true demulcents, right? What I see as being our three kind of picturesque, I consider them the queens of the demulcents, which would be marshmallow root, Althea officinalis, comfrey, Symphytum officinale, and slippery elm, or Ulmus rubra. And these herbs are really, basically, they're demulcents. Comfrey has a little bit more going on with it, but slippery elm and marshmallow, these are just like pure demulcent remedies. You don't tincture these plants. You either administer them in powders or as cold infusions. And that's the thing that I really want to clarify, is that with especially marshmallow root, I see all these people putting it in formulas and and like pouring hot water over it, and that's not going to get the demulcent property out of the marshmallow. It really needs to be a cold or at least room temperature water infusion to get the full potency of the demulcent action of either marshmallow or slippery elm. So don't use hot water on those plants, just room temp cold water. If you want to combine other herbs with it, what I always recommend is to make a tea with the other herbs, let it cool down to room temp, then pour it over your marshmallow or slippery elm and let it sit for, you know, overnight is usually what I do. Just make the tea at night, pour it over the marshmallow, let it sit overnight, and then you'll have a really nice mucilaginous beverage that you can drink that really moistens and hydrates all of the tissues. Now, we've got lots of different remedies within this category. As I said, marshmallow, slippery elm are kind of the queens of the demulcents. Obviously, there's safety considerations with comfrey and its internal use. I usually don't use comfrey internally, just to play it on the safe side. But we also have some great remedies like our licorice root from Chinese medicine, all right? Wonderful demulcent. And if we look at herbal medicines, most of them are drying, right? They make you pee more, they make you poop more, they make you sweat more, they make you secrete more, right? Fluids leaving your body, they tend to be drying. So knowing your demulcent or your moistening yin tonification materia medica is really, really important. And this is why licorice, I believe, is used so much in Chinese medicine, right? What do they say? It's the harmonizer of a formula. And a lot of people say, yeah, harmonize it because it tastes really good. I think more of that harmonization is probably because it's moistening and balancing the drying properties of the rest of the herbs in the formula, because let's face it, most herbs are drying. So licorice root is a very universal demulcent. It's wonderful. It can be used for so many different things. But we have, as I mentioned earlier, demulcents with different affinities for these different organ systems. So, you know, we've got, respiratory specific demulcents like coltsfoot or mullein or red clover or plantain. We've got urinary tract demulcents like corn silk and couch grass. We've got our main demulcent for the joints, which is Solomon's seal. We also see pleurisy root is applicable there, as is comfrey. For the nervous system, milky oat seed, wonderful demulcent for the nerves. In the PDF below, I've got some nice lists there of demulcents and their organ affinities. But this is a very critical herbal category to understand, to know your materia medica and know their organ affinities and know how to prepare them correctly, so you'll actually get that demulcent property. And for anyone that's got a lot of vata, a lot of dryness, dry atrophy tissue state, yin deficiency, you give them a demulcent and they're going to love you forever, because it's going to feel really, really good on their dried out tissues. So that's pretty much it for demulcents. And it's a pretty straightforward action, right? We're moistening dryness. And we'll see under the constitution section, when we talk about the vata lectures there, and when we get into the tissue states, we'll see the specific signs and symptoms that would indicate our demulcents based on those constitutional and tissue state factors. So thanks so much, everyone, for checking out this other herbal action. Be sure to download that PDF below, and I'll see you in a future video.